Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan on all the media. Are all the main social media apps, LCTRFA. And by the way, I am just here in my personal capacity. I'm here on my own free time offering my own personal opinions. Got a message from Lori in Billings. By the way, folks, we are having open phones, open messages on the Montana Talks app for the rest of the show, 406-294-0970. Was hoping to have Matt Monfortin on here to talk about a hearing going on today in the Montana Senate. Hope to get a call from him, but we got open phones and accepting calls from anybody on any topic, messages on anything, on any topic. So Lori in Billings says, I still question the excitement on the part of the USA of the hostages released. I am happy for them, but this is in no way meets Trump's demand, in my opinion. They also still haven't released the American hostages. I think Hamas needs to prepare for hell to break loose. Enough of these trickle releases while Hamas continues to hold the real power. I agree, Lori and Billings. And I think even from Israel's perspective, it's not necessarily some great deal. And you're right. It does not meet Trump's demands. It does not include a release of all of the hostages. It does not include a release of all of the American hostages. But primarily, my bigger concern with this, it does not result in the achievement of the number one goal objective, which is the complete elimination of Hamas. That's what Israel's war goal was from day one, was to completely eliminate Hamas. Because in the past, when they've done these ceasefires and they've done these deals, you can certainly enter into a ceasefire with Hamas, and then Hamas just goes back and rebuilds. The main goal here was to always prevent Israel from being able, or prevent Hamas from being able to rebuild after there's a ceasefire. Now, what I've read is that Bibi Netanyahu is kind of going to the more conservative members of his government and explaining, look, we should do this deal even though it doesn't achieve our main goal of completely eliminating Hamas, because we can complete that objective later. Right now, getting these hostages out is kind of a bigger deal. But I agree that Donald Trump is going to have to come in here, and he may actually have to do some things that are not going to seem real great. Like potentially, he's going to actually have to take action if places like Hamas and Russia call him out on, or think he's bluffing, or try to call his bluff. And I don't think Trump is bluffing when he says that, hey, this stuff needs, because here's the deal. Trump doesn't want to have his presidency go down as a sort of mediocre presidency, because he's constantly dealing with problems coming from around the world, whether it's in Ukraine or Gaza. He wants those situations resolved so he can focus on fixing the economy and immigration and the Biden migrant crime and everything else that's going on in our country. So I think he will. I don't think he's bluffing. I think he's gonna push the button, pull the trigger, whatever you want. But no, I agree that hostage deal is not as good as it could be, and I do think Trump is gonna have to let loose.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The official reason for moving President-elect Trump's inauguration indoors was the weather. Fox is told there is also a security concern. And then there is another factor, snowball fights. One senior source tells Fox there was a genuine discussion about snowball fights interfering with the event if Washington scored a substantial coating of snow. One source said planners worried that a snowball fight could get out of hand and contribute to injuries. Note that the Capitol security fence and massive stage, which was built for the inauguration, stymied Washington area school children from descending on Capitol Hill to go sledding after a major snowstorm nearly 2 weeks ago. Inside or out, this could be the snowiest inauguration since the swearing-in day was moved to January 20th in 1937. Previous record for snow on Inauguration Day in Washington came in 1961 for the swearing-in of President John F. Kennedy. The city received 7/10 of an inch of snow on that day. And considering the weather, perhaps it was only appropriate that Robert Frost spoke at JFK's inauguration. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News. News.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Coming up on Tuesday's Montana Talks, we are broadcasting live from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., the day after President Trump's inauguration as 47th President of the United States. We should have the entire congressional delegation join us at some point. Plus, you never know who else might show up with Montana Talks live from Capitol Hill, sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental. It's going to be some great coverage. Stay tuned. Tuesday's Montana Talk statewide 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got a message from Tammy in Kalispell about this Park County story that I've been covering. I don't know if you folks have heard about this. Out of KBZK, Bozeman, Park County, the Park County commissioners put out a isolation and quarantine plan that basically said the county could force you into isolation and quarantine in a pandemic, aka could take away all of your rights as a citizen, could take away your freedom of movement, other issues about, you know, whether you take the treatment that they require. They could force you to do treatment. They have the sheriff. They have the sheriff empowered to arrest you if you don't follow their pandemic isolation and quarantine things. All this is big KBCK story. The Livingston, the people in Livingston, apparently, at least some of them are smart enough to recognize that this is a terrible, terrible idea and almost 100% likely to be abused and result in the constitutional rights violations of our citizens. So I don't know. I put the message out there. If anybody listening right now has a clue about what these Park County commissioners are thinking with a pandemic isolation quarantine plan, calling for the sheriff to arrest the citizens of Montana for violating their little pandemic isolation quarantine rules, please call in or send us a message, 406-294-0970, because that just seems crazy to me. But Tammy in Kalispell says, good morning, David. Looks to me like Park County needs a recall effort. There is no place for a police state in Montana. And I agree with that. The good news in Montana, of course, is the fact that the Montana lawmakers are looking at property tax.
Fox News commentary.
Whoa. I don't know what that message was. But big news here in Montana about property taxes because of the legislature going right now into this discussion about property taxes. Governor Gene Forte, of course, had a statewide task force. The one that I'm really excited about is this new homestead tax rate. Montana's primary residences and long-term rental properties would have their tax rate reduced. And then there's also something called like a Comstead, which is, I think it's basically like a commercial property where you also live. And you can have like a Comstead on that. And those rates would also go down. And basically, if it's not your primary residence where you live year round here in Montana, everything else, can sort of make up the difference. But this is a homestead property rate cut. That's a great idea. That goes exactly to the primary issues that we've been hearing about here in Montana on property taxes for the past couple of years. It would benefit Montana residents and small businesses, and obviously at the expense of out-of-staters who own homes here in Montana. Gianforte said it would reduce taxes for more than 200,000 homeowners, over 30,000 businesses. It would basically cause out-of-state residents with vacations, with vacation homes to stop getting tax cuts. So that's a good one. There's also another one that would One of these plans from Gianforte is asking for that bill to actually be passed here immediately by mid-February so that Governor Gianforte can sign it and actually implement the new rates for 2025. So this is something that could happen right away. And, of course, it was Governor Gianforte in his State of the State address made it pretty clear that he wanted this to be done sort of right away so that that Montanans could get this property tax relief right now in 2025. I thought it was funny that he said, no games and no gimmicks. And I didn't know if when he said, no, we want permanent property tax relief, no gimmicks. I don't know if that was kind of his way of kind of saying, the rebates from last round were gimmicks. And he also said no games. I don't know if he was trying to say that that was a game and a gimmick sort of that last time. And I always thought it was a little bit weird how that property tax rebate was spread out over 2 years. Until I realized that you got your second property tax rebate right at the height of Governor Gianforte's reelect campaign in 2024. So I was like, so in 2023, they passed a law saying we get a rebate for $675 in 23, and then we'll get another rebate in $675 in 24. And it was just so happened that we got that rate kind of late summer. Perfect timing, I thought, but... But I agree with where Governor Gianforte is at now in terms of saying, hey, we want permanent residential property tax relief and we want it implemented now in 2025. No games or gimmicks. Democrats in the Montana legislature are proposing their own property tax bill. HB 155, sponsored by Representative Mark Thane in Missoula, Democrat, would create a graduated tax rate for residential property. Zero for the first $50,000 of a property's value, then gradually increasing to where now once you get up to higher property values, your percentage on property taxes just goes higher and higher and higher. I mean, that kind of sounds straight out of the Communist Manifesto to me, but what do I know? We've got Right On John on the phones. Right On John, thanks for calling in. What do you got?
Good morning, David, with a K.
Morning.
It was kind of nice, and if anybody wants to know, Caden is C-A-D-E-N, so Caden with a C.
All right. And is John J-O-H-N, right? Not J-O-N, like John Tester.
Oh, yeah. I'm the better one.
Right On, John. You're going to have to hold that thought. I'm no Aaron Flint, so I did what I like to do here, which is take you as a caller here right before we're up against an obscene profit timeout. But we'll be right back here, Right On, John. We'll come to you right after this break. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint, and we got open phones and open messages, but we're coming back to Right On, John, right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us have lived through the huge changes in the way we get news and information. Where we once read the back of cereal boxes at breakfast, we now thumb our way through comics on our smartphones. And while the national audiences for some news channels has dropped below 1 million, the hits and views on podcasts and online platforms have never been higher. The business model for what is now called legacy news media has changed as well. Once those places got most of their money from large advertisers who craved their audiences. Now many of those organizations have turned to subscribers to remain financially viable. These changes have had more impact on the content than you might appreciate. The need to get approval from your subscribers for your content or to avoid alienating those who pay the bills helps to explain the slants on coverage that are all around us. And the respect for those who service that content, currently just 28% of Americans say that journalism benefits society, has taken a hit as well. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's January 20th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Cheese Lovers Day, and it's a Gouda day to be a cheese fan, so remember not to feel blue as you have Fontina chowing down on your favorite wheel of cheese. Try a slice of apple pie with melted cheddar, or a slice of pizza with extra gooey mozzarella. So don't have a feta, you don't have to be neutral like the Swiss. Also on this date, the Iran hostage crisis ended in 1981, just minutes after Ronald Reagan was sworn in as the 40th president of the United States. The 52 diplomats and citizens were released after 444 days of captivity by Iranian students who overran the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. And President Barack Obama took the oath of office in 2009, becoming the country's 44th commander-in-chief and its first African-American president. If it's your birthday today, you share it with comedian Bill Maher, born in 1956. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got Rydon John on the phones. Rydon John, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. David, what's your speciality as a lawyer? You haven't heard that before.
Oh, yes. I do. I do general civil litigation, any commercial litigation, business litigation, mm-hmm. contract litigation, real estate litigation, easement litigation, farm and ranch related litigation, construction litigation, you name it. But now that's pretty much it. But I'm not here as a lawyer or in my capacity as a practicing attorney. I'm just here as a regular old guy, just giving my personal opinions.
Well, I just needed to know. I was curious.
Hey, it's whatever. We're open phones here, so you can ask whatever you want.
Okay, I'll just rip through these here, the important things. With the U.S. Forest Service, with the wildland forest fires down there in California, they're just not using enough aggressive protections ahead of the fires. Like, if they used just a buttload of retardant and didn't worry about if that retardant would get into the water and tank the water, as long as they save those homes. The hostages over there, 1,000 people for one is a really bad deal, and I think we did something like that with Russia a few years ago. Pam Bondi, I really like the integrity of the police service. They're failing in a few different areas that keep things that up. The FBI needs a full overhaul. I've even dealt with them. It's ridiculous. Can the monument designations by Biden be revoked or reversed? And finally, do we know how much damage Tracy Stone Manning did to the BLM?
I think on that first question about the undoing the presidential proclamations of new monuments, I think they can. I'm pretty sure they can undo those. I think historically it never happened simply because I think presidents are just really leery of doing that. But I think Trump would be more likely than most presidents to actually undo some of that stuff. And then what was your other question, right on, John, that second one?
One of the other ones is Tracy Stone Manning. How much damage did he do to the BLM as a tree spiker? And
I think she did quite a bit, especially in terms of basically trying to help out the American Prairie Reserve and change BLM leasing rules to instead of putting BLM land to productive use by farmers and ranchers, which is what it should be and how it always has been and what federal law says. I think she did quite a bit of damage in trying to say that actually, no, just letting that land sit vacant as conservation land is a use, and then of course everything else. But I don't think anything she did can't be just simply undone pretty quickly under the Trump administration. But I'm sure there was frankly a ton of stuff that she did that was really bad that I don't even know about. Right on, John. Are you aware of sort of some of the specific things that she did with BLM?
Not specifically at the moment, but I'd have to dig into it. But I know that they're really failing down there with trying to save California. They're not doing the right stuff with retardants and everything.
No, that's a great point. And Senator Tim Sheehy was on the Sean Ryan podcast, and he also tweeted out a Wall Street Journal editorial about that very issue and just how crazy it is, these California rules that really put humans last and put human property last. And Senator Sheehy was quoted as he basically explained all of this and saying, like, look, here's what's going on. And you know, there's these certain chemicals that we use that are super, super effective if you add it to water to put out fires and do that. They won't allow that to work down there. And, you know, they won't allow you to pull water out of this, and they won't allow you to pull water out of that. And then the water pumps, the water, they don't allow the water pumps to work to fill the reservoir because the smelt get put into get caught in the water pump. So then they have to, they're not allowed to run the water pumps because the Delta smelt might get caught. The insanity of it is just truly shocking. And they truly, here's the real key point that I think that I've heard a number of people make, including Senator Sheehy recently, which is just, it just gets to the core of the issue, right? Which is that all of these environmental regulations, all of these environmental rules, they're not actually intended or done for purposes of actually protecting the environment or actually doing what they say. The entire purpose and intent behind all of these things is simply to prevent human progress, is to prevent human development. Trump has said that. Sheehy said that. You know, we've talked about that a lot on the show here in terms of how just anti-human and anti-civilization a lot of these Democrats are with their rules. There was a really, really good editorial that Senator Sheehy actually posted about on the Wall Street Journal by Alicia Finley. In California, human beings come last. And it goes through, this article goes through item by item, all the different specific rules and things that have happened in California that show that the life of a human being is last under California laws. And there's a whole specific examples here. You will be shocked to hear this stuff. But let's go first to Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, thanks for calling.
Why is property tax so important? Why is there so much focus on it? Why have people awoke to this whole idea of cutting taxes for property? Because it takes the muscle out of this one world order thing that's trying to control a country. This is why it is so important that you come up with ideas and that will help us with property and to give us back the money that help us with the resources to grow this country. You know, you can have Proposition 13, maybe. That would work. It's worked in other states. How about subsidizing lodging receipts? Years ago, we had those taxes taken out of the Forest Service receipts, and they were put into the schools. That was a good idea. What happened to it? They grew the government. They grew the government so big, and it happened with just about everything else. So they take the money out of your property tax, and they support these crazy ideas where they just grow the government. A senator in Indiana years ago in 1954, he had it all figured out. His name was William Jenner, and he understood that this whole idea that we have in this country is a constitutional government, not a democracy. It's just that we do things democratically, but we're a constitutional government. That means you, the people, have finally woken up now, and that's what you're seeing today in this whole idea. So that's why it's so important that the property tax idea to stop this wicked growth of our government and put it back into the hands of the people. And we are a nation of laws. And it's the laws that protect all of us and that we all live by, and we could do a better job with this if we just learn that lesson. And I think this is what we have learned, and people have listened to what has been going on for all these years.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well said, Chris. Thank you so much for the call. You know, what it makes me think of is, you know, you hear Democrats, especially at the state level, say, well, you Republicans, all you want to do is sort of change the property tax system and cut property taxes and blah, blah, blah. All you're doing, you're just trying to starve state and local government, and you want to starve the government of funding. And I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, if that's the goal, if that's the purpose, boy, we aren't doing a very good job, because both in 2023 and in 2025, the legislature has gone into the legislative session with billions and billions of dollars in excess surplus and excess tax collections. So there's really not a whole lot of starving of the government going on here. But no, I mean, I think the notion of, hey, cut taxes, and that way, then during the next legislative session, they don't have all of these insane surpluses where now it's, hey, we want to spend $300 million on this, and we want to spend $500 million on that. And I mean, here's one example, okay? New sober living facility set to open in Billings amidst behavioral health crisis. This is a story from one of the TV stations, KTVQ. A new sober living facility is opening here in Billings. You're going to find warm beds, TVs, bathrooms, living rooms, kitchens, laundry rooms. This is a place for people who are in addiction recovery, who are trying to stay sober. Tim Rakowski is going to manage and direct the household. He's on a recovery journey. He says, just providing a home where people can feel safe and grow in their recovery. That's really the most important thing to me. You know, you go, this is actually a great thing, and I'm all in favor of sobriety and people getting sober and everything else like that. However, I think some of the funding is going to be coming from a bill that one of our Republican legislators proposed in 2023, HB 311. And he says, quote, this voucher, what it does is allows them to remove the barrier that I can't afford room and board. It's $1,000. It's like a kickstart treatment program for them. The voucher program has a yearly $300,000 limit. Any unused funds roll back into the HEART initiative, $25 million, quote unquote, investment, unquote, by Governor Gianforte for behavioral health programs. The voucher program is going to end in 2027. Okay, first of all, can we please stop calling spending investing? Okay, spending money is not investing. I'm so sick of the media and politicians referring to every bit of government spending as investment. That's like me. It's like I'm going to take the family credit card and go spend a bunch of money on, like, you know, new clothes and new a fancy lunch. And I'm going to go buy a bunch of stuff. And then I tell my family, hey, I'm going to go uninvesting. No, you're not investing. You're spending money on a credit card on things you don't need. It's not investing. Anyway, the sober living facility is great, but do we need excess money like that?
This is House Call for Health. Donald Trump becoming the 47th president today, a job that many might say could be one of the most stressful, leader of the free world. So how does one deal with that stress and pressure? The Mayo Clinic has some tips, not specifically for the commander-in-chief, but for anyone. First, get active. Any form of physical activity can help you relieve stress because it helps increase those feel-good endorphins and other natural neural chemicals. You should also maintain a healthy diet that includes fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. Also, try to avoid unhealthy habits like drinking too much alcohol or caffeine, smoking illegal substances, or eating too much. Then there's meditation, which can help reduce anxiety, calm both your body and your mind. And the Mayo Clinic says you should try to laugh more. Perhaps a joke like this one from President Reagan, who said, I'm not worried about the deficit. It's big enough to take care of itself. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'd like to see our tax system get set up to where every single legislative session we don't have billions and billions of dollars of overpaid taxes. That's what I'd like to see. Maybe we could have a state government that collects the amount of taxes that's roughly equivalent to what it spends, so you don't have a billion of our dollars. That's our money up there. They've got over $1 billion in Helena of our money that they don't need, and now they're all fighting on how to spend it. Okay, here's my pet peeve, and this applies to a lot of Republicans too, okay? Words actually have meanings. Words actually have definitions. By the way, open phones, folks. If you guys want to call in now, because the phones are going to be very, very busy during the 9 o'clock hour. So call if you want to be on the show and have any amount of time to talk, now's the chance. 406-294-0970, because 9 o'clock comes around and the phones are going to be lit up, and we need to get callers on the show. So we're not going to have as much time once you get 9 o'clock. But here's the thing. Okay, investment has a definition. An investment is something where you put money into it expecting a rate of return. Okay, a stock is an investment because you buy the stock and it either pays you a dividend or it appreciates in value and you eventually get back more money than you put in. That's called the rate of return. A bond is an investment because if you purchase a bond, let's say you purchase a treasury bond at 4%, okay, you get back your capital, your initial principal, plus 4%. You get a rate of return. That's an investment, okay? Spending money on consumption items is not an investment. Going out and buying yourself a nice steak at the nicest steakhouse in town, that's not investing. That's not an investment, okay? Buying a car, buying a boat, that's not an investment. You're not expecting a rate of return, and you actually recognize that those things go down in value. So just spending money on clothes, spending money, that's not investing. But yet, when the government spends money, when politicians spend our money, Republicans and Democrats, the media and the government and the bureaucrats and the politicians, they all say, oh, this is an investment. We're investing money in this. You're not investing. That's spending. You're not expecting a rate of return. You're not taking our taxpayer dollars and buying stocks and bonds expecting a rate of return. You're not investing. Now, the state government does invest. It's called when the government has money in state employee pension funds. Yeah, they invest that money. They buy stocks and bonds. That's actually investing. The government spending money on whether it's a sober living facility or a new prison, and Frank, things that even I would support. Again, I support the government spending money to build a new prison, but you're not investing. Spending money to build a new prison is not investing. And if everybody could just start using words that match their definition and stop calling all government spending investing because you've done a little poll testing thing and you recognize that voters like investing, but they don't like government spending. So you just call all government spending investing. Oh, man. All right. I got to calm down here, folks. Now, let's go to Bill in Belgrade. Bill, thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I have no mail delivery in Belgrade.
Why? Why is that?
I finally went to the post office the other day because I just tried mailing in my first payment for Medicare. It sat in my mailbox from Monday until Thursday of last week, and it wasn't even touched. So then I went down there, and all I got was, well, we're really short-staffed right now, and that's it.
Well, they're probably short-staffed because nobody can afford to live in Bozeman on a entry-level postal delivery salary, right?
Well, probably, but, you know, somebody in Belgrade must be getting their mail.
That's a good question.
Because the post office is open, you know? It's like, well, okay, I just retired 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. But now this is my job is, you know, getting my, straightening things up, moving, you know, email addresses and things like that, getting everything to a regular email address. So now I'm mailing in my payment for Medicare, and I've got long-term health care insurance. Well, they've mailed me something like 2 weeks ago. And it's not here yet because I've got to pay all this stuff. They do, all these businesses do, you know, business by mail like these things. And Amazon, they send things through the post office. I've had, several things lost in the last year. Lately, two things, one got refunded, the other one got reordered, but they probably sent it through the post office. So, you know, when's it going to show up?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, I know that the postal services have been having issues. I didn't know it was that bad in Belgrade.
Well, I wish it would have been nice if they would have notified the public about this, or would that perhaps make them look bad if they said something?
Well, that, I mean, especially at a time when, you know, President Trump is out there proposing privatizing the postal service, and I mean, I don't, what's the problem with that? I mean, the government really doesn't do anything very well. I mean, it really does nothing well, which is why when the government wants to build a road, you know, they don't go out and send out bureaucrats to work on it. They hire a company. They contract for it. So if they need to deliver mail, why can't they contract with a company that can actually get it done? You know, like Amazon, UPS, FedEx. You know, yeah, why wouldn't we have the federal government just hire FedEx to deliver their packages? Because as the caller from Belgrade says, when the federal government does it, apparently they're not even getting their mail delivered in Belgrade. Let's go to Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, thanks for calling.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Okay, this is what's been really bugging me a lot is the power of pardoning that Biden's doing right now. I mean, the presidents usually pardon maybe a criminal that they think got misjustice. You know, evidence showed back up, and, you know, they're going to let him out of prison after 30 years. Biden right now is pardoning everyone that is dirty, that is could possibly put Biden himself in jail. So what's the deal? I mean, it's got to quit this pardoning stuff, really.
I just think it's gotten really bad this time, Stephen Ballantyne, because the Democrat Party corruption has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse over time. And I think the media corruption has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse over time. And so I think a combination of the Democrats just committed a lot of crimes and Joe Biden is just particularly corrupt. I mean, I think that's my explanation for why you're seeing such a blatant corruption and abuse of power at the presidential level out of these Democrats.
Yeah, and by saying that, though, generally, I mean, he's pardoning apparently all of the January 6th committee people. I mean, doesn't that just right there that most Democrats, or well, I shouldn't say, some of the Democrats should realize that they're guilty then. If he pardoned them, that must mean they're guilty.
Oh, yeah. No, I certainly believe that those January 6th members had committed crimes. I certainly believe that Fauci had committed crimes. So in my mind, there's no question. Joe Biden's a criminal. The Democrats on that committee are criminals, and Fauci's a criminal. To me, it's not up for debate.
Right. So hopefully we can get something done. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on trying to put someone in jail. But David, someone has to pay the price.
I agree. Well, I mean, I agree. And we do need accountability. And what's insane to me is, yeah, I agree, Steve in Ballantyne. There should be accountability for what happened during COVID. And there should be. People should be going to prison. People should be going to prison for a long time for what happened during COVID. And the other thing that we ought to be doing is passing constitutional amendments and statutory provisions that say what happened during COVID and what Fauci did and what all these county health boards and all these county health officers did and what all the law enforcement did to enforce those unconstitutional executive orders by county health officials and everybody else. That can never, ever happen again. And the way that we make sure that happens again is you go and you prosecute people like Fauci. You go and you hold every one of these county health officials accountable for their abuses of power. And you put in place new laws and new constitutional provisions that prevent that. And instead, what do we have happen? We have places like Park County and Livingston putting in place county-level quarantine and isolation requirements, authorizing the sheriff to arrest people if you don't obey the county's little isolation and quarantine, little pandemic rules. So it seems like we're kind of going backwards here in Montana on some of these issues. I got a couple of messages here on the Montana Talks app. Lightbrows and Harden says, if you think you own your land, try not paying taxes on it. You're renting it from the government. That is correct, Lightbrows and Harden. If you don't pay the government money, then they will take your property. So to me, if you have to pay the government money, otherwise you lose your property, that does kind of sound like you're renting it from the government, doesn't it? Got a message from Cameron in Billings. He says, you're right on, Noble. Buying a private jet to fly between your five houses isn't an investment into the country. Just because it's on the budget doesn't mean it's an investment. Exactly. One of my pet peeves, folks, is just, and I'd encourage everybody to keep your ear to the grind. When you hear a politician talking about investments, think, are they getting a rate of return? No.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I think we're even seeing a bigger realignment worldwide. In the U.S., Western Europe, progressives are more unpopular, with their left-leaning parties securing only 42% of respective votes. Conservative candidates, meanwhile, won 57% of the average votes. representing the widest gap since 1990, according to this analysis. Here's the problem with socialism. I did a whole chapter in Live Free or Die about socialism. The failure, the history, the failure of socialism. And that includes whatever manifestation it takes on, whatever name it takes on, is you have promises that are made. They are never fulfilled. You end up being more poor in the end. And then you calculate how much freedom you lost in the process.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day. Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell. It's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad or homeschooling your kids or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it. And I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their product so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The official reason for moving President-elect Trump's inauguration indoors was the weather. Fox is told there is also a security concern. And then there is another factor, snowball fights. One senior source tells Fox there was a genuine discussion about snowball fights interfering with the event if Washington scored a substantial coating of snow. One source said planners worried that a snowball fight could get out of hand and contribute to injuries. Note that the Capitol security fence and massive stage, which was built for the inauguration, stymied Washington area school children from descending on Capitol Hill to go sledding after a major snowstorm nearly 2 weeks ago. Inside or out, this could be the snowiest inauguration since the swearing-in day was moved to January 20th in 1937. Previous record for snow on Inauguration Day in Washington came in 1961 for the swearing-in of President John F. Kennedy. The city received 7/10 of an inch of snow on that day. And considering the weather, perhaps it was only appropriate that Robert Frost spoke at JFK's inauguration. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you folks know I'm from Manhattan, Montana, so I got friends still in the valley. I'm getting messages here about, oh, yeah, the mail service is horrible here. That caller was not wrong. Plus, we've got Paul and Bozeman on the lines. Paul, thanks for calling.
Good morning. I'm the other Paul. This is a first-time caller, Paul, from Bozeman. But I want to ditto the call from Belgrade. I had 14 prescription medications sent to me by a Montana mail-order provider, and it didn't get here for about 2 weeks. I finally called the provider. They checked the tracking, and the package was going back and forth between truck and office, and then in the truck, and then back to the office. Finally, it got here. So that's it's a serious problem. In this case, I ordered before I was, without any medications. But for other people, and a more important medications, that could be a very serious problem. So I called the mail order service, and they are now not going to use the post office anymore for my deliveries.
Wow.
That's one possibility. Another thing I want to point out.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that this has political implications. I donated to the campaigns of about 50 Republicans throughout the country. I, as a result, am still getting a number of requests for donations to all kinds of endeavors that I could support. I'm not getting those letters anymore. I was getting 10 to 12 a day after the election, and I haven't seen one.
That's hilarious.
For at least 2 weeks.
So is that good, though?
Other implications.
Isn't that good, though?
I don't think so. I can choose which one I want to do.
No, that's true.
What I want to donate to. So I'm in control of that. But I would like to at least have the opportunity. I actually, for a while, thought that I might be singled out because of those mailings.
Well, hey, maybe these the post office. Well, maybe these politicians will actually take action on fixing the post office if they realize their fundraiser cards aren't getting through. No, I mean, the other thought I had just listening to you talk there is, wow, so this is the federal bureaucracy and how good they are at doing things, and they've been trying to do the postal service since the 1700s, and here we are in 2025, and they're sending prescription medications back. Is this the entity that we want running our health insurance too and our health care? No. Why would anybody want that entity taking over control of our health care? That one is a beyond me. Let's go to Lee in Kalispell. Lee, thanks for calling.
Yes, this deals with the county that new pandemic regulations.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm surprised that they didn't put a regulation saying that anybody complaining about it, if you're in that county or not, can be they can sign out an arrest warrant and you could be arrested.
I'm surprised they didn't put that in there too. I mean, maybe it's in there. I mean, it's a 16-page doc. All I've read is the KBZK article on it.
Mm-hmm. But that kind of struck me as, why didn't they do that too? As long as they're going to take away civil rights of the county, the people in the county, why not take away the civil rights of everybody in the state?
No, that's a great point. In fact, maybe I'll pull up the 16-pager and see what's in there. Folks, 9 o'clock hour coming up. Hoping to have Matt Monfort on talking about a hearing today happening in the Montana Senate. Open phones as well. Plus, we've got Aaron Flint coming on during the 9 o'clock hour. Plus, your favorite guest host, David Noble. And I've got some messages on the Montana Talks app to get to right after this short news break. We'll be right back.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us have lived through the huge changes in the way we get news and information. Where we once read the back of cereal boxes at breakfast, we now thumb our way through comics on our smartphones. And while the national audiences for some news channels has dropped below 1 million, the hits and views on podcasts and online platforms have never been higher. The business model for what is now called legacy news media has changed as well. Once those places got most of their money from large advertisers who crave their audiences. Now many of those organizations have turned to subscribers to remain financially viable. These changes have had more impact on the content than you might appreciate. The need to get approval from your subscribers for your content or to avoid alienating those who pay the bills helps to explain the slants on coverage that are all around us. And the respect for those who service that content, currently just 28% of Americans say that journalism benefits society, has taken a hit as well. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.